We're up to the top of Mem Hei Amud Aleph, but we're just discussing how we deal with the Braisa at Hamapkir at Carmel. The person who is Mapkir is Kerem, and then the morning gets up and harvests it. Right then, we said he was Chayev a Prat, but Olo to Peretz, Olo to Beshichcha v'Peya, Patur min Amaser. So we have to explain why was he Patur min Amaser. So according to Ula, that's not a problem, so that's the Rabbanan. Right, the Rabbanan say that it's the Oraisa, that Hefker works. They had the Xerah the Rabbanan to wait 3 days, but Mid Oraisa, that was good enough to exempt them from Maaser. El Reish Lakish, Amai Potter min Maaser. Right, so our question was, according to Reish Lakish, explain the whole Braisa, the whole previous Braisa, according to Rabbi Yossi, what's he going to do with this Braisa over here? So Gemara says, "Am I potter min amaiser?" So Amar Lachos, he gives one possibility, which we addressed yesterday, is Ki Armiana the Rabbi Yossi ha Rabbanan he. I explained the previous brisa according to Rabbi Yossi, but that doesn't mean that there isn't the opinion of the Rabbanan, and this brisa is according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Now, Ibai Seimo, another possibility how to solve the problem is how to upgrade ba'anpe train, how to upgrade ba'anpe flata, ba'anpe flata. Depends how many people he was mafkir in front of. Is he mafkir in front of two people, or is he mafkir in front of three people? Why does that make a difference? There's the difference. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok, Kula mafkir b'fnei shlosha, havi hefkir, b'fnei shayim, lo havi hefkir. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the only time something really is hefkir is if you're mafkir it in front of three people. But if you do it in front of two people, that's not really hefkir. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi Amar, Devar Torah, filu be'echad avi hefker, that in bait mina Torah, even one person is considered to be enough to generate a hefker. Umatam amru b'shlosha. So why? What's this whole inyan of doing it in front of three if one's enough to create hefker? K'dei she'echad zochet u'shnai me'idim, to make it into a suggestion, meaning that if you want to really be mafkir something, you have three witnesses, two will become the witnesses and one will be able to take possession of the property. So that's how you can have a real enforced hefker. But mina Torah, all you need is one person, and then it'll be hefker.
And that person can grab it, can't he?
Yeah, that person can take it. That's not an issue. So that's the just you can't do it with yourself. That's obviously the differential, meaning one as opposed to having nobody there and making it hefker. All right. So then, based on this, that will explain the difference in the cases. And it's what I've been suggesting to others when they ask me, oh, what's Rabbi Yossi's opinion? How could Rabbi Yossi get around this? But the possibility is that Rabbi Yossi, who says there's no such thing as hefker, or hefker works like a matana, like a gift, right? That's only when the hefker is done in front of two people or one person, because then it's like a gift. Right? Hefker, when you only have one party on the other end, or you only have two parties on the other end, then it looks more like a gift than it looks like hefker, because only two people or one person is available to take possession of it. So then it functions like a gift. Once you have three people already, that's considered a quote-unquote public. And since that's the public, then it becomes like real hefker. And even Rabbi Yossi would agree that in that case, you are able to make it into hefker. It doesn't function or act like a matana. And that's how Reish Lakish will explain the different Braito. Braito that says Patur min HaMaaser is when he was mafkired in front of three people. And therefore it's really hefker. And therefore he's Patur min HaMaaser. Whereas the previous Braito that Reish Lakish explained, according to Rabbi Yossi, is the case where he's only mafkired in front of one or two people. In that case, the hefker functions like matana. And that'll either create a problem, different problems that we discussed, one at the nether, or other issues about why you have to wait until someone else takes possession of it in order for it to be considered hefker, or you can retract until it reaches the other party's possession. So, just sikum, if you look in the Ran, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom of the Ran, 8 lines from the bottom of the Ran, he said in the middle of the line, it says Kenira. See that? 8 lines from the bottom of the Ran, says Kenira. So this is a summary of the Ran. The Ran started the sugya. I think we read the Ran when we started the sugya. It says, "Ken nearly perusha the shmaita kula." So this is my understanding of the whole, what we just read, everything we just read over the last two tabim. I learned some of the stuff I wrote. I learned from the other Rishonim. Right? But this is my way of going. And he wrote that, if you remember in the beginning, we said that the Ran says a lot of people have written about this, this inyan or this sugya, and they didn't make a lot of sense, and I'm going to come here to make sense out of this big mess here. So this is his conclusion to that big piece of how to straighten out this gemara. which is very difficult Gemara. All right. Right. So we mentioned this, that the whole sukkah here, this whole last daf and a half, right, really is premised on Rabbi Yossi, the Havamin and Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi thinks hefker is kamatana, which we reject. And the Gemara, right, on Shabbos' daf, right, on Mem Gimel, rejected that position of Rabbi Yossi, and said the end of Rabbi Yossi is really gzera mishum, but not b'tcharon. Right, so based on that, this whole sugi that we just read was all premised on Rabbi Yossi harayu kamatana, which is rejected by the Gemara. So since this Gemara is all according to the Havam, you know, right, this Gemara is all going to fall away. So that's what he says here. So the Gemara says mishum desav rafkir matana atya Rabbi Yochanan damahachad el hayitoto. And Rabbi Yochanan, who suggested that position, was knocked off. Right, became a chicane, lamaskana, de la el, adakula. Everything is knocked off, kolak sugya. This whole sugya is meaningless, the halacha, because it was knocked off based on the habamina being rejected. Then actina and the perusha, the braisa, the makir tadeo, ukumta, de ula. Right, that we have to explain the braisa according to ula, the kula rabbanahi, because there is no one else, right? Rabbi Yossi namihi. It's Rabbanan, and it's also Rabbi Yossi's opinion, because Rabbi Yossi's opinion doesn't differ from the Rabbanan, except for the Gzeira. So Rabbi Yossi lo palikalai with Rabbanan, but Dina the Hefker klal. He has no issue with them with regards to Hefker. His whole issue is about the Matanat Beit Koron. And therefore, if you skip down two lines, it says in Leinyan Halacha, right, so Leinyan Halacha, but Bukdayat Rabbi Yochanan Yeshua ben Levi. So what about here, this last sugi here, which is an important sugi, independent of the previous sugyas, which is Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Yeshua ben Levi, how many people do you need to be matkir? Right, so Leinyan Halacha, he says, Naktinik Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Dvar Torah, Apilu Be'echad Habi Hefkir. Even with one, right, we go, Halacha is, even one is enough to be matkir. That from Mina Midar Abonon you need three, but Midar Reisa it's enough with one. One's enough to make a hefker. You only need three Midar Abonon. That's the conclusion of the sugi here of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. And you'll see, if you look on in the Gemara, you see Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, there's a little mark for the Gilyan Ashas, right? You see that there's a little mark for the Gilyan Ashas who references you to the Tosfos. In Pesachim, now we discuss it, this is the Tosfos from Daf Dalet Amud Bet. The Tosfos discusses Bitul Mishum Hefker. That's exactly, so that Tosfos discusses over there, why if Bitul Mishum Hefker, where's my three people? How do, you know, Hefker works, it has certain requirements. And if Bitul Mishum Hefker, how come we're not fulfilling the requirements of Hefker? And so that's the Gilyan Ashas references you to that Tosfos in Pesachim that we had mentioned yesterday. All right, this is the end of the parak. Now we'll, I guess, can open up your new books here.
So yeah, I'm open.
Break the bindings there. We have now the Gemara here. The Mishnah here is a short. What we're going to try to do, we're going to read through the Mishnah. It should be the Mishnah is, and it's not. There's not much to the Mishnah. The Mishnah is very short, and so you know we'll be done in a second. But the Ran talks about an issue that comes up, which is a halakhic issue for all the Rishonim, and they have to deal with it. And this is where this Gemara is quoted in many places, and because of this issue. So we're going to start the Mishnah. So you have partners that are...
You don't know why. I'm going to say this on tape. You know why? They're the half owners of the New York Giants. Gotta recognize that. They do other great things, too.
Shutavim shenidru hanah zemizeh. So the shutavim that took a neder hanah one from the other. Asurim likanes lechatzer. They cannot enter each other's, or they actually share. They're joint owners of a courtyard. And then they took nidre hanah one from the other. So now they want to enter into the chatzer. But according to Rabbanan, they're both precluded from entering the chatzer because they have now restricted each other, right, from entering. Each one can go into their part of the chatzer. So what type of chatzer are we talking about? So Gemara Bava Basra suggests that the Mishnah is talking about a chatzer she'in ladin chalukah. It's not a divisible chatzer. Right? You have different types of courtyards. So Gemara Bava Basra deals with courtyards, what the minimum size of a courtyard in order to divide it up, right? There's machlokes there whether it has to be 8-4 amos for each of them or 8 amos square for each of them. But here, we're talking about a case where they can't divide the chatzer. If they can divide the chatzer up, then it's easy. You divide up the chatzer, and each one uses their location. The problem here is that they have a joint chatzer. They can't divide. It's too small to buy. Now they each want to walk into the chatzer, but they both have rights in some way to enter, right, to go into the chatzer. So according to, this is the way the Ron learns, it's an interesting way that, according to the Rabbanon, what are my rights? I share ownership of the chatzer with you. What exactly are my rights? So 50% of the chatzer I really own. Right, that we know. 50% of the chatzer I own. The question is, what is my relationship to the other 50% of the chatzer? So now, the Rabbanon believe that 50% is mine, and the other 50%, I have a shibud on, right? I have rights. I have a lien on the other 50% for walking rights. I mean, my ability to enter my house, my ability to walk in and out, those things I'm entitled to. So the 50% I own I can use, right? Plus the other 50% I have rights to through shibud. But what do we know about nedarim, right? What do we know about konamot? That konamot are mafkin midei shibud. A neder, a konamah, can remove a shibud, right? It can eliminate my shibud. The way the Ron learns here is that the Rabbanim believe, the Tanakhama here believes what? That my rights, my 50% rights to my chaser, that's fine. The other 50% that I have a shibud on, when he took the neder of to restrict me hanah, he eliminated my rights to that shibud. By eliminating my rights to that shibud, then what? I can't, now I have a problem getting in there. Because the only reason I could walk in there before was because 50% was mine, and if I wasn't in my 50%, I had rights to the other 50%. But now he eliminated my rights to that other 50%, so I can't get in there. But Elazar ben Yaakov believes, no, that the way it works in here is that I have rights in the Gufa Karka 100%. When we share the chatzer, we're both, quote-unquote, 100% owners of the chatzer, each, right? It's not working the Derech Shibud, it's not working Derech Aline or rights to the other 50%, but I own 100%, he owns 100%. Therefore, when I'm walking, I'm always walking in my possession. Why? So that we have to discuss. We're going to come back to this. I don't want to discuss it now, only because this creates all the complexity. This whole run is about this issue, and that's because of Breva. Right, we're going to discuss it in a couple minutes, but the question of Breva and why I'm always in my own part of the chatzer. Okay? So leave it at that. That's it. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who merits Zenech Nasatov Shalev, Zenech Nasatov Shalev. That each one is going to his own one. Both of them cannot place ovens, right, mills, or bring up chickens in the chatzer. Why? Because even though, in general, the Gemara in Baba Basra discusses this issue and says that generally, shchenim, or joint owners, will not be makpid on each other with regards to these issues. So that if you have a chatzer, we suggest that if you put these up, that generally they're mokhel. The other owner, if the chatzer is mokhel, because these are normal malachot that are done in the chatzer. So even though you're not entitled to do these, but in general, we say that Bala Shutfim will agree to allow people to do this type of work. So that works when you're in a normal relationship. In a normal relationship, I can be mokel, my rights, and allow you to do these things. But here we have a problem. They're both usher ve'anah to each other. So the mechila of those rights, even though it's normal, and that's the normal way to interact, but that mechila of those rights is now providing you with a hanah, since I really have the right to object, and I don't object, right, now I'm giving you a form of hanah. By giving you a form of hanah, then I can't allow you to do this. So these larger items are not going to be allowed to be placed into the chatzer.
These presumably, each one takes less than half of the chatzer, though.
In doing these items, yeah. Even if it's on your side. Because the problem here is not, again, this is where it's not nitam chalukah, it's not a divisible chatzer. If it's a divisible chatzer, it's easier. But if it's not, even when it is, these items are noisy, messy, they don't stay on my side, there are things.
These aren't things like with the next door neighbor at the time, it's also kind of thing.
No.
Smell and that thing.
No, they're not that big. No, that's a burski. Those are,
that kind of thing, yes, right. Exactly.
Those are items that are, you know, but these were considered normal things. I mean, in their day, it was normal in your chatzer to have a stove and oven and a...
You ever walked in your chicken coop?
That was considered normal in their day. I mean, there were animals in their chatzer, but they were not. I mean, even the Tanur and Rechaim, if you go, I mean, they're not that many left now, but in Rechavia, that's how they were, the old Shari Chesed houses. right? The houses were built, and then in the chutzner were the ovens. There was ovens were out in the front chutzner, and they had to cook. That's where they cooked. They went outside. They had to go outside to cook. There was no kitchen. There was no indoor, you know, ovens. So. Okay, so now, what happens if only one of them was restricted? So now, there's no real chiddush here. We'll see only the last piece of it is a chiddush here, but right now, there's no chiddush in this piece, because the same problems that we encounter when they're both asur hanah to each other, we're going to encounter when one of them is asur hanah. You know? So, mudar hanah mechaber, lo yikanes lechatzer, he can't go into the chatzer. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mer Yaakov hulo, right? Yaakov. Hulo mar lo tok shuli ani nechlas. I'm going into my own half of the chatzer, it's not a problem. This is the same thing we saw in the ratio. And I'm not going to yours. Bekofin, this is the addition of this section. Bekofin had to know their limkor chelko. We forced the one who took the neder to sell his place, his section out to the other guy because he caused a problem. The one who was noder here created a situation, according to the chachamim, that is almost unlivable. Right? Because how is it unlivable? He can't, according to Kamin, this guy can't get in there. He can't go in. He can't do anything in that area. So that's why we force him to sell out. This is the equivalent of, has rings of the slave that's owned by two owners, and one of the owners has frees half the slave. Right? So there we had a Makokos Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. In the end, Beis Hillel agrees to Beis Shammai. So we are Kofin Hotel. We Kofin the second guy to free the other half of the slave. Right, and put it a post bail, whatever, he can make it a debt to repay that owner, but at least to free him, to make him into a situation where it's, he can live reasonably, he has a reasonable ability to function. The same thing here, if this guy's going to restrict him in Hana, and then that's going to make it impossible for him to get into his house, then we say to him, sell him out the property. I mean, you took a neder that's causing such a disruption to his wife, at least either, you know, get rid of the nether or sell him the property. All right. Now the last part in the Mishnah. Did I skip something in here? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The third case. Third party. The other guy, the other owner. I mean, there are only two guys who own the huts. I mean,
that's not enough.
Right. Assuming that he does it at a price, right?
Market
price, right? Or sell it to another, but it could be a third party, right? I mean, a third party was on the problem also. Right. So now what happens in the case of what happens if there's a third party that's restricted from getting hana from one of the two owners of the chatzer?
So the statement of Kofin is obviously not Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov.
Right. Exactly. According to the Ran. According to the Ran, it is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. I say there are other Rishonim, most of the Rishonim say no. This is like if you look at Rashi. Rashi says, look at Rashi. So according to the Rabbanan. Right, that's the simplest way to read this Mishnah to say it's only going to the Rabbanan. So all he's pointing out is that the Ran disagrees and says this is only even according to Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov. So we'll spill the beans here. What's the Ran suggests, what's the problem over here? What's the issue when it comes to, why do we force him to sell? What's our issue with one-sided Isser Hanah here? Right. Naran writes, Fashinan, Shema Yitz Kaneh B'Chaveiro. He's going to be jealous of his friend. Yishtamish Ba, Apu. And therefore, he's going to do reflexively, he's just going to, we talked about these like quid pro quo type of arrangements. So here's one of these types of arrangements where the normal way is, if I allow you to walk through my chutzner, you're going to let me walk through your chutzner. And since that's the expectation, when he sees that his friend is walking through and he's not allowed to walk through, he's going to come to walk through. So we're going to say to him, we'll force him to sell it out. Right, in order that he won't violate this, we force him to sell. So then the Ron says, and Yaakov Nami, to surely Kanish Lachatzer, Kofino told him Kor. To the day, Nami Ikla Mechash, what's the problem for Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov? We said it, which is the first line in the Mishnah on this stop, which is what? That they're both not allowed to put up a Rechayim, a Tanur, and Legadel Tarnagolim. Even Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov agrees to that position. Right, so what's the problem? So he says, Nami Rechayim Tanur, Buhuayna Rasha Yid Kaneb, Obi Avola Sokain. He'll get jealous, and then since his friend can do it, he can't do it. But what do we say about the Tanur Rechayim and Gadol Tarnagolim? Shutzvim have a right to object to those items. So since you have the right to object to those items, right, then what could he do? If he really was jealous and he's upset that his neighbor is doing this stuff and he's not doing this stuff, he could object and say, don't do this stuff. And then they'd be on equal footing. So Ron says, asks on his own opinion here, if you think this is Kofanim according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, he can even out the score by just saying, I don't want you to do these things in my chatzer. But Ron says, what? It's not, it's zilul b'milsa. Zilul b'milsa. It's something that shutzim are not normally mocking on. And for him, it's below his status or stature to object. That's not like, because people who do that are...
doing anything out of spite.
Right, or acting, right. Are not, that's not the normal conduct. And since he's acting beyond the normal conduct, he'd be embarrassed to do that, to reject it. And then since he's embarrassed to reject it, he's going to come to be jealous of the other guy having those rights. Since he'll be jealous of those guys having the rights, he's not going to want to, right? He's going to want to do what his neighbor does, and then he'll violate the nether. So we force him to sell out.
Why isn't he just mother his friend?
Right. So you could. That's the same thing.
On condition. I'll mother you until you release your nether.
Right. You could, right. And then he would even have to score. He would. But he'd run, then he'd put a foot to rub on it, you'd make the problem worse because then they both won't be able to
handle it. Yeah, but it would end.
No, it's right. It's not so clear that it was his friend that was mothering him. He couldn't mother himself to not benefit from the other person.
Right. It's the no there. The no there is the one who we put the pressure on here. Mm-hmm. So like Shaul was saying, depending who is the mother. The Gemara's going to discuss who took the nether. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not, okay. I don't want to get too deep into that now. All right. Now, we're back in the Mishnah. One, there's a third party who's coming to enter in here. Mudar v'echad mehem hana. He's restricted in hana from one of them. Lo yikanes v'chatzer, according to Chachamim, he can't enter because he has the same restrictions as one of the partners would have here because he is restricted from getting the chatzer. But that's when Yaakov Omer lo tok shelcha v'echa ni nechnas ni nechza tok shelcha. I'm going into your friend's piece of the chatzer, not your piece of the chatzer, just like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that about the two owners. Right? Someone who's restricted enough from his enemy. Ishlo merchat ubeit abad niskarim ba'ir. He owns a bathhouse or a press in the city, but they're rented out. Im yishlo mahen tfisat yad. If he still has residual ownership in them. Now, what is tfisat yad here? It could be either profit sharing, he has some residual profit sharing, or he still has some ownership in the value of the... Maybe that's not totally rented out where he has no shaykhus to it, meaning that it's gone. It's the other guy, whoever's renting it, can do whatever he wants with it. Right. Then, in this case, he still has some residual ownership. Then, asur. Then he can't answer it because then you're getting benefit from this individual. Right? And Loban said, yeah, if he's totally, right, removed from this area, then it's mutar. Then you can use it because whoever's being maskirit, whoever's renting it, right, is the one who is providing all the benefit here, and you can get benefit from the one who's renting it out, not from the landlord or the original owner. All right, so now...
You know, we don't know the directions here yet, right? The Gemara's going to discuss that.
In terms of...
Who owns what? Who's renting what? Who's...
No, here the landlord is the one who owns... The landlord is the one taking the nether. Right? The landlord is restricting the user in Hana.
And he can... Oh,
the user is restricted in Hana.
From this, the landlord's property.
Mudar
right?
Hana mechavero.
Right. He's restricted
from the user.
The user is restricted from the landlord's... Getting Hana from the landlord's property. The user is
okay, and the Ishlo is the landlord. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. And then the Muskar is the question is what? Where is this? Whose hands are the property in right now?
Okay.
Haomer lechavero konem lebeit chashani nechnas v'sad chashani lokeach says I will not go into your house and I will not use your field or not buy your field. Mace, if he dies, Oshimakul Akher Mutar. The fact that he said Sadcha and Beitcha, that we said that the possessive form, that makes it limited to his house and his field. That means if it ends up in a third party's possession, it's no longer his house, and it's no longer his field. So therefore it's okay. There is one Chumra that comes out of this from the Yerushalmi, that is, what happens if the house falls down? And he rebuilds the house. That is still considered Beit Cha and Sadcha. So he'd be restricted. So there's a Kula in Beit Cha and Sadcha, which is that if it's sold or he dies, it's no longer Beit Cha Sadcha. But the Chumra in Beit Cha and Sadcha is if he rebuilds the house when it falls down, it's still considered Beit Cha and Sadcha. The other side of this is, Konim Bayit Zeh Shani Nechnas, Sadazu Shani Lokeya. So he's referencing the field, not the ownership. When he references the field or the house and not the ownership, then, Meito Makol Acher Asur. Then if it's sold to someone else, it's still restricted, because he restricted the actual field or the house, not who was owning, that was not reference to who owns it. And again, in this case, the kula will be, if the house falls down, it's no longer by itself. Right? So then if it's rebuilt afterwards, and it's a new house, And if you said by Zed, then he would be mutar in going into the house at this point, because it's a totally new house for his understanding of the Mishnah. So this is the Mishnah, which seems, you know, more or less innocuous, until you get into the issue of Breira. And this comes into a major issue of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion here. Because the Gemara in Baba Kama suggests that the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here has to do with Breira. What is Breira? Breira is a concept that the Gemara says that we can identify l'mafreya. Retroactively, we can identify who owns property. In that, even if we don't know at the time, or we don't know certain issues, later on it can become clear to us, and through the evidence or the situation that arises later on, we can then identify what had happened earlier. It comes up in a number of places in the Gemara. Just, for instance, Yerusha is one classic case where it comes up. There are two brothers that have been yorish their father, and now, when they divide the property, how do we look at these yorshim? Are they dividing the property, and there is breira? I mean, that when they divide the property, this was the property that was supposed to come to them, and therefore they are yorshim. Or do we view the two brothers as lochim? That really, we can't identify whose property belongs to whom. When they divide it up, they're basically trading. They're bartering the property in order to end up with 50% each. If that's what's the nafka mina, if they're lochim or if they are yorshim, that makes a difference. For instance, it comes to Yovel. When it comes to Yovel, does all the property get pulled back to and redivided? Because if they're lochim, if they're really bartering and buying the property from each other, then what happens to a lokeach at Yovel? All the property returns. So they have to re-pull the property at the Yovel. Whereas if they're Yorshim, property that's for Yerusha does not go back in the Yovel, and therefore they can keep their divided property. That's a classic case of Breira, meaning that when they divide their father's property, was that what was supposed to come to them? Or we can never identify what was supposed to come to them, and therefore when they're dividing, they're really selling to each other whatever is the other person's property or chelik, each piece they own 50% of. Remember, when they divide it, they're really bartering out to get to their possessions.
Is Breira shaykh if you use more than half to start with?
What is that? I mean, what do you
mean? That goes through more than half of the property to start with. You say Breira at the end.
Oh, okay. All right. It's a good question. Right. So that's what we have to deal with. Right. How does Breira work here if he's only working in 50%? Right. So that's, we haven't even gotten to our case yet. So we're just dealing big picture. What is Breira? Right. So we have to get to your question, which is a valid question according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. If you say it's Breira, then how does it work? So we'll get to that in a second. Let's just big picture Breira. So that's one place where Breira is used. The other place is, where we see, Breira is, for instance, if I'm trying to identify, I'm trying to Eruv, classic, another case, Eruv. This person wants to put out an Eruv, this is an Eruv Tchumim. There's a Talmud Chacham coming to visit the city, and he wants to go hear a Shir. The Shir is outside of his Tchum right now. So what he wants to do is he wants to set up an Eruv in the direction that the Chacham's coming. So he says that he doesn't know which is coming from the east or the west. So he sets up an Eruv, one on the west, one on the east, and he says, whichever side the Chacham comes, that's my Eruv. Right, so now when it comes in, and Shabbos enters, and Ben Hashmashos, we don't know which Eruv is going to take effect. Later on, the Talmud Chacham is there, or he finds out that the Talmud Chacham is there. Then he says, well, at Ben Hashmashos, my real Eruv was the one on the west where the Chacham was coming from. So again, here's a Breira, a case where we're retroactively trying to establish what was the halakha comparative, right, or the halakha, which one was the halakhically valid Eruv. And they're doing that through Breira. These are the cases that we see. The Gemara in Beta, it concludes with Rav Oshia. Right? Rav Oshia makes a conclusion, and this is the way we pass in Halakha, which is that Breira does not work in De'oraisa. It's not working in Torah law, but it works in Dinei Derabanan. So Breira is only valid when you're talking about Derabanan, but we do not say Breira when it comes to De'oraisa, to Torah law. So that's just a big summary about Breira. Right? That's just Breira throughout Shas. What throws a monkey wrench in this whole problem is our Gemara right here. Our Gemara right here, we've had the whole last, right? So the whole last part of the whole last parak went according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. We said many times, Stam Mishnah to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that Vitor is Asur. That giving in even the smallest amount of forgiveness is considered a Hanoah for violating a Neder. Right, so now, in this case, right, if that's the same Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, then any giving in of allowing you to walk on my property would not work here. So it must be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov here is functioning according to Breira. That wherever I walk, whenever I'm walking, or wherever I am walking in the Chatzer, is really my Chatzer. Okay, so that's, I own, whatever I'm walking in, that's what I own. Because that's Hufra Dabar, that's my part of the chaser. That's working with Breira. If it works with Breira, they have a problem here. Nedarim worked all right, so, right? And here you're having Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're going to pass on a look like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, using Breira, and it's all right, so level. So that's what all the Rishonim have to deal with over here. And that's what plagues the Ran over here. What the Ran is trying to deal with over here is what's this issue of how do we have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov be, right? In a case of, or supporting position of Breira, right? And yet, and we know from other places in Shas that Breira doesn't work at the Doraisa level.
The Dharma is Doraisa, but what about the question of ownership?
No, but violating. There's to be determined.
Okay, but Rabbi has to determine that Reuven owns X and Shimon owns Y. And you don't have any problem with the
right. But we're not turning to Rabbanan doesn't mean in like the rabbinic decisions, but rather halachos to Rabbanan, right? Which was not the case here. Here we're dealing with halach of the oraisa, so that we won't be mafil during. So if you look, even at the Rush, I'm not going to the wide line of the Rush. He says, why is Rabbi Elazar Yaakov's opinion here? Because every yesh breira. You look in Tosfos. Tosfos says the same thing that the sabre yesh breira. Right, so every Rishon here is saying that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Yaakov is functioning on Breira. And that's because there's a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that. That basically Bava Kamma, the Gemara asks, what explains their opinions to be, their machlokas is about Breira. So that's why all the Rishonim take that Gemara in Bava Kamma and they explain our Mishnah according to Breira, which raises the issue. Just so, for your question, if you look in the end of Tosos, the last line of Tosos, Umihu Vadai, it's the second to last line of Tosos, Umihu Vadai. You guys find it in your
words.
Okay. In Tosos, it's towards the end. It's got to be way towards the end of the Tosos on the Amud Bet.
Five lines up.
Mem Hey Amud Bet. You're on my Bob's seat. The Mem Hey Amud Bet. Yeah, the Tosos over here. That last time, Mihu. All right, so it says, Mihu, Vade also lay the stock pair of a whole half hot there. It's answering your question. Even if we say Breira, can he only walk in half of it? So he says, at any point, he can walk anywhere in the Chatzir, but at any point in time, that's his chalik. Right, exactly. Whereas if he's Mishtap Peros, if he lays his Peros out throughout the whole Chatzir, you can't say that. Because
he's
anymore,
a really big guy.
He's a really big guy. Right, that's why nobody, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that Rechaim, although there it's supposed to be Vitor. So how do we answer this problem? All right, so we have to deal with this problem, and this is where the Ran has a deals with the issue. So let's try it. We'll look in the Ran. If you see, the Ran says in the middle of the Ran on this page in Mehmed Bet, it says the Ika the Makshu. See that? The Ika the Makshu. Yeah, that the Ika the Makshu came to Bukhtai of the Revelation Ben Yaakov Rabban Beyesh Breira, Vein Breira, he. That's how they set up the machlokas. How can we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that there is Breira? We paskin like Rabbi Oshia, the only time we use Breira is when there's a Darabonan law, but not when there's a Daraisa law. But we paskin the halacha like Rabbi Oshia. So now we have a problem of halacha of Rabbi Elazar Yaakov and halacha of Rabbi Oshia. So how are you going to reconcile these two halachas? So he's going to bring down first. Tariyot Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam tried to answer this. The halacha of Rabbi Elazar below me tamay. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, but not for his reasoning. And what's the reasoning of Rabbi Elazar Yaakov? Karmina. Do you suffer the yesh breira and vitor is asur? Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, why is it mutter over here? Because you have breira, and everywhere I walk, it's my property. But he also says, Rabbi Elazar, that vitor is asur. Any forgiveness, any little giving is asur ba'na. That's what we saw in the previous parak. But on sphere,
how do you find that is his shita? If we can set him up based on breira, but he doesn't say it's breira.
Who? I'm sorry. No, but that's the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma says that's their machlokas. So he's assuming that the Gemara in Bava Kamma, when they established the machlokas this way, and now we're passing like it, means that they're passing like the.
Right. I didn't know what basis they had for saying that is the yeshita.
Yeah, well, that's the only way to explain him, because he believes Vitor is Usur, Bitur, any giving in is usur. You could have explained easily, and this is what Rabbeinu Tam is going to say, is that the reason that you're mutter to walk on the other person's property is because walking the other person's property is a small mechila. That small mechila is not covered by a neder hana. Problem is that
you wouldn't need to resort to prayer.
Right. But the problem is that Rabbeinu Elazar ben Yaakov is of the opinion that bitur is usur, and that's what drives the debate. Right. Exactly. That we had in the previous paragraph a number of times. Mar said, "Who's the Mishnah is like?" Rabbeinu Elazar ben Yaakov says, "Bitur is usur." Right? We hold the Ebreira of a Vitor Svilan de Mutter, but Moderna. Exactly what the Rabbeinu Tam does. Yes, you're basically your point that, okay, that's how we establish the lesson in Yaakov, but if you explain differently, then you get to an answer that's palatable to us. Even if it was a divisible property and they divided it up, he could still walk in his friend's property because it's Vitor Mutter. I mean, it's a small token thing that you allow someone to walk through your property and your Chatzir, and that's not restricted by Yisra or not. Now, you skip down a line, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zal, right, just to be in the next line, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zal lo nira lo tzvara. The Re disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Says, the lo mistabra litzchot kama stamosh nistamu mechilten. Our masech is full of stam mishnas that go like Rabbeinu Elazar ben Yaakov. Kama damar vitur asr ben mudar anam. Bekula pirkin demel kavate azil. This whole previous parak is all according to Rabbeinu Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. Fikav teres hu, Zal. So what is...
Therefore, point that we're passing that way.
Yeah, that makes no sense to say that, well, we hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we don't hold Vitor Zasser. I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, the whole Masechta is running with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and to say that we reject all these Stam Mishnayos doesn't make so much sense. So now, what does he do? What does the Re do? Territory is out, the Vade Kaimelon Manda Amar Fil Daraisa Yish Breira. We pass him that the Daraisa Yish Breira, Mahashma the Shmaitin. Oh, when we said halachas like Rabbi Yosia in Mishteitza, there was only one side of him. One side, the side that said derabbanan, there is breira, but not on the other half. Rabbi Yosia says by Daraisa there is no breira. We pass from Lagamri, there is breira. That's the major machlokus in Beitza, whether in derabbanan there's breira or not. So the side of Rabbi Yosia, there is breira by derabbanan, that we pass from like that. His little statement about Daraisa, we forget about that because Daraisa, we are going to. They are going to do this. Below mechuvar, the Ran says, if you skip down about four lines from there, at the beginning of the line, he says, below mechuvar. I don't agree. None of this makes sense to me. Right? Devadei b'daraisa ain't breira. There's no such thing as breira. Right? That it's...
He was practically trying to use breira to ascertain his shita.
Right? He's going through all the... all the Rishonim. Right? That's why David quoted him, also the Rav Soloveitchik Sotal used to say that all you have to learn on the Dara, right? Zeran basically is one of the... He has the Akronei Rishonim. He's in the later of the Rishonim, and therefore he has access to all the previous opinions, and he can move around with them a lot, and you see that a lot. He quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes the Re, he's quoting the Rambam, he's quoting the Ramban.
And it's free to disagree with anybody. Right. I don't like that.
Right. That he does feel. So if you skip down another three lines in the Ran, in the middle of the line it says, Katav Arav Rabbeinu Moshe Zal. Okay, Katav Arav Rabbeinu Moshe Zal, Behil Chutav. You see that's the middle of the line, about three lines down from
the Rambam?
I don't think so, because again, when he quotes the Rambam,
you just says Rambam.
That's what I said, you asked me this in the past, and I said when he quotes the Rambam, he says Rambam, or is it Rambam? I don't know, maybe, but he also quotes the Ramban, he says Ramban. I don't know who he's referencing here. It's a good question.
Ramban.
Okay, Ramban.
Of the Ran.
Okay, there you go.
Of the Ran. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Alright, there you go. Alright, so it's interesting because in other places he writes Ramban or Rambam, so right. When he writes Rabbeinu Moshe, it's hard to understand why he wouldn't have just written Ramban or Rambam.
Are these all in the Tosfos and Pesach that you're talking about? The Rabbeinu Tam and the Re?
The Re are in the Tosfos, maybe in Baba Kamel.
So maybe there's Moshe there also in the Tosfos.
Right, no, it's not quoting in the Tosfos. He's not in the Tosfos. Alright, got to write Rabbeinu Moshe, but he'll close out. The brayer here is different than other brayers. Right? In every other case of brayer, right, you're talking about something that's not clear today, and later on will be cleared up. The name is Barei Milsalam Afreya, to say that when afterwards I have now a definitive answer, and that definitive answer can influence what happened prior. Of the Hashtahu, the Chatzah Shemba Din Chalukahu, Volkhad Mishtamish Bekula. Here you have a Chatzah that is not divisible, and each party can use a part of it. They came in the Shutfim Ninu, and their partners, Ki Haigav, Nahavim Mishtash Mishtayu. That is their functioning in the Chatzah. The Chatzah will never be divided. There will never be a clear division of this Chatzah. Their usage of this property is premised on the lack of divisibility of the property, and that means that basically I have rights and you have rights, and those rights are to walk around. This type of brayer here is not brayer, the classic brayer that we see everywhere else in, right? Everyone
this is
in
the brayer that suspends time. This isn't the brayer that defines.
Right, it's never going to define the division.
Right.
And every other brayer, which I gave you examples of, once the decision is made, right, then we know what the division was. Like, for instance, the yorshim. When you divide up the father's property, once it's divided, you've now come to a conclusion about which is which half. And if you say brayer, then when you go back, you're saying that defined at the moment of your father's death what was supposed to go to each child. Right, so that's going back and saying we now have a definitive division, and then that division is what dictates.
It's even a little more than that. At the time of the father's death, it was clearly not known.
Right.
Subsequently, it's like a mafreya. It's a good result.
Retroactively, right.
But here, that's how you know what's happening.
Right.
Here,
it's not known at the time, and it never will be known.
There it remains unknown. It's constantly.
Right. And therefore, the brayer here is functioning in a different way. The brayer is saying that this is our agreement as partners, is that wherever we walk will be ours. I mean, that's the question. So the brayer is not like a classic kind of brayer where it defines the actual division of the property. It's brayer in the sense that that's our partnership agreement. Our partnership agreement allows for each of us to use, and wherever we are, that's my part of the property. That's
so each one has an undivided half, and that's how it is. You have rights usage or whatever on the other half.
Right. Well,
so
you don't
the rights of them also.
Right. You don't want to say shibud because we don't want to use the word shibud here. We want to say that he owns gufa karka. The way you're saying it has, you're saying that he has a lien, right, to the other half of the property.
Yeah, whatever
you want to. Right, but we don't want to use that because again, we have the problem that konamot the motzim mitay shibud. But you want to really say is that he owns it. He literally, wherever he's walking at that moment, that's his ownership.
But not exclusive.
Right. Well, at that moment, it's exclusive.
He always has a shortage. He's never going to be exclusive.
Right.
He always has a shortage.
Right, but I'm saying at any moment, wherever I am, that is now mine. And whenever I walk to the next spot, that spot now goes back into the partnership pool. And the next spot is mine. I mean, that's the division. That's how this brayer works. This is an unusual part. Right, different kind of brayer. All right.
No, I remember this principle. There are other places where we're playing that. I don't necessarily... In the family deal, but there are others we've seen that. Like the non-classic for...
I don't know. He doesn't give examples here, but as a... Alright, so then the Ran, if you go down and skip 3-4 more lines down, in the beginning of the Ran, he says, Ein Noachli, Veino Noachli. About 3 lines down, it's the beginning of the line. Loshono Zal, Veino Noachli. That's the beginning of that line, if you see that. Ein Noachli. See that in the beginning of the line, Ran, 3 lines, you got that. About 3 more lines down. Veino Noachli. Dimita, my listener, Dame Brayer of Yishbrayer. All right, if you're, you know what, if that's the case, don't use terms that have definitions. Right? I mean, that, you know, you start out a contract, they define all the terms up front. These are defined terms in Shas. Brayra and no Brayra are terms that are defined throughout Shas.
Terms of art.
Right. So why use a term that's already defined, Brayra and no Brayra? Come up with a different term that explains this type of. You know, this type of ownership. They all of a sudden use a term that's borrowed from somewhere else and say, oh, it has a different definition here. He says, it doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, so now...
It was Bigelis Brayer.
What? Right. So you have, if you skip down another line, towards the end of that line, Lefikach, near and li. Lefikach, near and li. There's a Lefikach, near and li. You see that? Lefikach, near and li. Dvarim kipashtan. We have to read it like it is. The Brayer of the Holcha, Kabrayer of Dalma. This is regular brayer here. El mishum da'ach brayer adifa paskin and half of Rebbe Ben Yaakov. So what he does is he basically takes the Ramban and he soups him up, and then that's how the Ran solves the problem here. He says, wait, he says, we're talking about brayer, regular brayer, like anywhere else in Shas, and that's why do we pass on like Rebbe Ben Yaakov here? Because the brayer here is different than every other brayer in Shas. Not because it's different, I mean that it's functioning different, but it's a better type of brayer. Why is that? We're using it retroactively, like it works everywhere else in Shas. You can't say it belongs all of them to each one. You can never say they have 100% ownership because whatever you own, the other 50% is the other guy. The time of buying, that was the premise of the purchase. Whatever I'm in it, the entire one will be for me. The problem is not in the agreement, but the time in which you do it. So the way the Ron learns it is that the ownership is, the Breira is that I own everything at any moment.
It's a timeshare.
Right, it's a timeshare. Exactly, very good. That's exactly what it is. It's a timeshare, but we don't know, we need Breira because we don't know when the timeshares are going to work. That's exactly, a timeshare works that way, right? Because each year everybody tries to divide up how many, which week I have, which week. But the original ownership was premised on us sharing the property. But when I have the property, it's all mine. So I was answering your question. Tosfos says he can walk on the whole thing because he's never taken up the whole, but when he puts that as care, says the whole thing. According to Ron, sounds like you could, at any moment, you could use the whole chutzner, because that's the agreement. The Breira is that at any single moment, I own the entire chutzner. Right? So this Breira, therefore, the Ron says, this Breira.
Every moment, but not at every moment.
Right. Exactly. So that's it, the way it works. Like timeshare. It's a classic type of timeshare. So it's bought with the in mind that this is how it's going to be divided. And whenever we divide it, that week is all my week. That day or that hour, that moment is all my moments.
And so to put the temporary hang, which is a permanent structure.
Although again, according to Rabbi Lezer Miyakov, you don't have to get to that. The answer might be yes, but he has vitor as usher. So that vitor, allowing someone to put something in your property, is a mechila. And according to Rabbi Lezer Miyakov, even though it's normal for Shifkin to do it, that vitor is usher. So I'm saying that's Rabbi Lezer Miyakov, the Shita Toh. You don't have to get to Breira for that. But again, you're right. It might be that since those things are always there, those aren't considered in the original partnership agreement. Right? So that's how the Ron answer the uses over here. So now we say that since we can,
Ron is basically saying that it's a better form of Breira because
the original,
there's no division.
There is no division.
There is no division. It's just the at this point in time,
I don't want it to me, right? Exactly. We're not dividing and going back and saying that this is the division, the 50% that we said originally, this is how it's divided. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that we both own 100% of the property, but at different times. And that the Breira is about that timing, not about the division of the actual property. And therefore, the Ron says it's a better form of Breira, and therefore we can passing like Elazar and Yaakov here, and we can, like, so he borrowed, what he did was he borrowed from Ramban's idea that this Breira is different, but he didn't say it's not different than all Breira and Shas. He said it's the same Breira, but it's functioning differently. Since it functions differently, it has this adotopia that we can have in Paschal and Halacha, like Elazar and Yaakov here, even though we passed into Oraisa, Breira does not work. Alright, so this basically deals with the Breira issue for him, the Ron. One other thing I'll point out in the Ron, which comes out as a machlokas later on, has to do with Schira. Alright, what happens is a question in the Rishonim, right? The Tosfos over here deals with it. The Tosfos, I won't read it inside, but I'll say outside what he says, and then the Ron disagrees with him over here. When you are soaked or something, say you rented a property, you're renting your apartment, right? You rent your place, all of a sudden your landlord is after you in a hanah. He restricts you on getting hanah from him, your landlord. Can you continue to rent the place from him? Are you allowed to rent the place if the landlord restricts you on hanah? So Tosfos over here brings down opinion that it depends when he
will have to lower the rent.
It's zero.
Right. Well, then that's the problem. It's mechila, and he's giving you hanah. Right. So I mean, is he allowed to then you're getting some function form of benefit from him by renting from him? Right, so now you have to raise the rent above market. Right, so raise it above market. So then, can you
set up your hot water?
Right, can you? What can you do in these cases? So the Tosfos brings down the opinion that depends when the neder was taken versus when the skira was done. If the neder is before the skira, that would restrict you in skira. But if you're already a soaker, he can't come and take a neder to undo the skira that's already in place. Once you're a soaker, you're a full owner of that place. Skira is kanya, right, in the sense that you own the place when you're soaker, and therefore, you are.
Because you have to renew the lease.
Right, okay, right. When it comes to renewing the lease, that might be different. But as long as you are contractually, or, you know, at this point, leasing the property, it's your property, he can't undo that.
Well,
right? He has no right
to. Be great stuff here. Is that someone who wants to pay a higher rent?
Right.
Yeah. How am I going to evict these tenants?
I know. All right, he can hold like the Ron. The Ron says just the opposite. So that's Tosfos's opinion. The Ron says it's clear to me. That what? That a maskir. So I'll read you the Ron, because the only reason I'm bringing this up is the Ron explains his opinion over here, and that's why I want to show you this Ron, because he comes to the opposite conclusion of Tosfos. Right? Okay, see here. So here, nearly, if you look in the Ron, it's the, but as the line starts to widen out in the Ron, the first time it starts to widen out in the Ron, on Amud Hamud Bed, it says nearly, the Hainu Time Ayod there, Abana.
The middle
line there, right, and that's the middle of those three lines that are a little wider, the nearly. Right, so there nearly the Hainu Time Ayod there, Abana. Shum, the came into Yep Shra Lamar, the Kolchad Kain, the Kule Chatzer, Kinyan Gufli Olam. According to the Rabbanan, what's the opinion of the Rabbanan? You can't walk into the Chatzer, it's because neither of them can come up with a full ownership of the property. Right, the Elamar, Lav Lamar. The Yifshar Lamar, the Gam came, Shash Shastamish, while Eagle Milsalama Freya, the Shash Kinya Akana. We can't say that it's Breira, that he counted this place. Aishata Kinya Guf, then Breira, according to the Chumim, right? There's no Breira. That's the Machovs in Baba Kama. There's no Breira, according to them. Kohad Machana, Shutfim, Yeshalo, Machatzer, Zek, Kinyan Guf, Daniel Hel Klo Ko. For 50% of the Chatzer, he owns it outright. That's his 50% of the partnership. The Kinyan Shibud, Bechelko Shachaber. This is how I explained the mission when we read it. The other half, he owns rights, easements, like you were explaining. On the other half, to walk there. Shein Allah Yaqola Kevalav Minadin. I mean, that's his rights to walk there. Avagav the Lokani Lei Gufa. Even though he doesn't own that 50%, he has a rights to walk there. Hilka Kasari Abanan to Otu Kinin Shibut Sheishto Akal Kosho Chaveru Konamot Maskin Oto. When you take a neder, which we said before, that a neder, a konamot, can be maskia mide shibud. So now, what do you run into a problem? Shem hafi osir. The konamot, maskia mide shibud. Gets rid of his easement. Right? So, your 50% you still own. The problem is with the other 50% where you have an easement or a shibud. When he takes the neder and off, he removes that easement. By removing that easement, you can no longer walk into this property because you don't have those rights anymore. He just eliminated your rights to walk on his half of the property by taking the neder. Whereas, Rabbi Lesman Yaakov Poligalayo, Mishim Sisrila Yesh Brei. That whenever you're going in, you're going to your property. So now we know from the Ron below, that means that you own the full property. The time you enter it, you own 100%, not 50%. Not because of the easement, but because of full ownership. And that's my focus here between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. Now we understand the Mishnah in Breira. Come say no Breira. So how do I, what are my rights to walk in the property? 50% of my rights come from my ownership. The other 50% comes as I have easement rights on your side of the property. But when you take a net there, to usher me or not, to konamot, you eliminate the easement. You've now removed my easement. If I don't have an easement or an ability or rights to walk on that second half, then what? Then I can't walk into the property anymore because I never know if I'm walking in my half or your half of the property. So that's not going to work because they don't have Breira. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I have Breira. And Breira, like according to the way the Ron learns, is I own 100%. When I'm in the property, I own 100% of the property. The Breira is about what time period I own it in, but I own 100% of the property when I am in there. And that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov lets you walk into the property whenever you want because you own 100%. So last line in the Ron. Umikan nearly, it's about three lines. If you skip three lines down from where we are, it's the second word on the line, umikan nearly. Right, so this will be the final thing we do in the Ron. Umikan nearly, to Raya Brua. This is a clear proof. The masker yokol asher betel asokher. The landlord can asher the renter in his property. Apabisha nechlu kuba zarishonu, as I just pointed out to you, the Tosus on the next Amud says no. Much nechdav lefneinu b'siyata d'shma, I'll explain this later on. Apagav the masker medina lo matzik lekube. Right, the landlord is out of the picture now. He can't stop him from doing anything. Lidak, abil haki matzik arsele bekonim. Shom de konamot mafkiyam midei shibud. Does the konamot get rid of his shibud? And what is the renter's rights to the property? Is a shibud. He doesn't have anything in a goof here. The socher has rights into the property from his rental, and the masker can get rid of his rights. Even if he prepays the rent, right, he can eliminate it. There are obviously people who disagree, and that's what we said, the Tosfos disagrees. I'm not going to get into it, it'll be later on, but I'm just saying.
Because there's no protection for a tenant debt.
Sounds like a bad law.
About, right. Well, that could always do that.
Right, you can take it, right, and there, I'm going to make the shibud of the socha, right? This is the Ron says, he's pshita to me. He's saying pshita about what other rishonim say no, and you understand we explained to Tosfos, it makes a lot of sense. Once the socha's in there, he's got full ownership.
What happens
right
to the money?
Right? He probably has to return the money. So he's stupid to make, give me the sikh. Here is, he has to give the money back, because he's eliminating the, what would have been the lease. I'm assuming he would have to give the money back. We're going to get to it. I just wanted to point it out, because the Ron, it's a derivative of his shita here, that Konamot of Gimme the Shibud, and he sees Chirus as simply being a Shibud. Since it's a Shibud, you can eliminate it through a Neder. The other Rishonim are going to have to either say Konamot are not Gimme the Shibud, or we're not talking about a Shibud here. We're talking about when he buys it, he gets a quote unquote Kinyan Aguf for a part of the time. right? That he gets owner, he has quote unquote full ownership for a period of time. That ownership's enough to hold on to it, even when the master takes a neder of enough.
I was wondering in terms of selling. I know it involves a shutfus. Could you sell your timeshare, let's say, without the shutfus rights? It might make a difference which shita you're going with. In other words, whether it's a timeshare shita or a greater shita.
Well, maybe that's more. No, until it's rental. I have a renter in my property, and then I sell the property out from under him.
Right.
So not with the timeshare. Not with the timeshare, because I'm using Brayro and other issues. Maybe I own my 100% when I have that time. I could sell it without the other shutfus rights.
I own second law, obviously. You can't out
right.
kind of that way.
Right.
I know my law.
I'm
law.
Saying, but this way, according to the Ran, right, maybe you could sell it from out of him, under him, and then
that's
you
true.
Have to tender, but then another unknown. I mean, that you could really, it's right, it's unbelievable, but according to Tosfos, you can't do that. I mean, that you could come out with a snare. You have to take a neder on off, so you have to get rid of the shibud. Selling it may not get rid of the shibud. What you need is something powerful enough to get rid of the shibud. What are the two things? Hektish. So if you're Makdish department, you can get him out of there, right? Or if you take a neder on off, those are two things that are strong enough to get rid of shibud. So that would be according to the Rambam's shita. I'm saying, according to the other Rishonim, much like yours, like what you would think.
You can't get there because the shibud
is so strong enough that
it precedes
but not even a shibud. Maybe the shibud is not a shibud. It's a kinyan. It's
right.
Right. Yeah, there's enough ownership to block your rights to making a makdish shita and to being taken
out. It's not yours, and at this point in time, it's not yours. The idea of whether